All right. It is so good to see you this morning. Welcome to the Edge Church. And I tell you, I love this Sunday every year because we are preparing for the greatest week of the Christian faith. This coming week, we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what we call Palm Sunday. Everybody hold your palm in the air, all right, like that for Palm Sunday. Isn't that good? Yeah, actually, there's more to it than Palm Sunday by looking at our palms. It really speaks to the fact that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on the Sunday before he would be crucified. And they laid down palm branches to honor and show respect to Jesus Christ as he rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Interestingly enough, while everybody was laying down the palm branches on Sunday, on Friday, they couldn't wait to nail him to a cross. And we'll get to that next week. But, you know, I am just so excited about what God is going to do in our church. We have an amazing Sunday plan for next weekend. In fact, we're going to be in three services, 8:30, 9:45, 11 o'clock. We're just going to have a fantastic time, and I'm beginning this new message series called The Power of Hope. And you know, there's not one person here today that doesn't need hope in their life. Regardless of where you are, we all need hope. And we're going to talk about how we can find hope through the power of the resurrection. And you know, many people are going to be finding hope by committing their lives to Christ. And Easter is such a powerful Sunday because it's just a Sunday every year that many, many people decide to cross the line of faith and become Christ followers. And God's going to use you this week, I believe, to invite people to be with us next Sunday. And many of them are going to commit their lives and their hearts to Christ. And it's going to be amazing to see what God's going to do. Over 150 people have already come to faith in Christ at the Edge Church over these last 18 months that we've begun this church. And I'll tell you, I am just addicted to life change. I'm addicted to seeing people come to faith and seeing God just change and change and change. And really next Sunday is just going to be the culmination of that. You know, Jesus began to speak about life change in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. The scripture tells us that Jesus began to tell a story. And in this story, he began to illustrate about how people receive the message of the gospel. You know, the gospel is the greatest news of all. The fact that Jesus would take our place, that he would die on a cross and then rise from the grave, and that we could receive peace with God, and we would have hope and life eternal and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that we would live lives of forgiveness and freedom. I mean, there is nothing more powerful than that. But, you know, while many of us have received the message of the gospel with enthusiasm, not everybody does. And Jesus began to illustrate this through Luke chapter 8, and he called this little text the parable of the pots. The parable of the pots. He began to talk about the different soils. And the Bible tells us that seed is sown, but oftentimes when seed is sown, it falls on different types of soil. And Jesus began to speak of this in the eighth chapter of the book of Luke. If you want to grab your outline, you can follow along with where we're going. Because the very first pot is the pot of hard soil. And Jesus began to talk about this in Luke chapter 8, the rough soil. And if you notice in the scripture, he begins to speak of this in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, and when a great crowd was gathering and people came to him, he said in them in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seeds, and he had sowed the seeds, and they fell along the path, and they were trampled underfoot, and the birds devoured it. In other words, Jesus talked about pouring the seeds on the dirt, but because of the harshness of the soil, the seeds did not take root. And he said, this is an illustration that reflects the fact that not everybody receives the seed of the gospel. In fact, this is one of the few parables that Jesus gave an explanation of what he was talking about. And he said in verse 12, explaining what he said in verse 4, the ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes it away from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And so the birds of the air come and devour the seeds before they can germinate, before they can grow. In other words, sometimes when we sow seeds of the gospel, we invite people to church and we minister to other people, when we share our faith and what God has done in our lives, there are times when people don't receive it. It just kind of falls on hard soil. And that can be a little bit disheartening at times. But Jesus says that is a reality, you know? While many of us have received the message of the gospel with great enthusiasm, that's not always the case. And there are cases when we have responsive hearts, but the Bible tells us that many times unresponsive hearts have no interest in the gospel. And this is what we would call the hardened soil. And Jesus begins telling this story by really just painting this picture of the hard soil. But he goes on, he says, listen, not everybody responds like the hard soil. Sometimes people respond in a different way. They respond with the rocky soil. And you notice in this plant, I've got this nice little purple plant, but while there's a little topsoil, there's a number of rocks that are in here. And the rocks consume the soil, and Jesus began to describe this second type of soil as one that is consumed by rocks. In other words, impulsive hearts believe until they're tested. There's sometimes when the seeds of the gospel are sown and the plant begins to grow, but it can't dig down with the root systems and it can't draw the nutrients and the moisture out of the soil because of the rocks. It's in an unfertile place. And Jesus spoke of this and he said in verse 6, and some fell on the rocks and it grew and it withered away because it had no moisture. You know, that's probably what happened right here to this plant, because there are so many rocks all throughout this plant that the roots cannot grow, and the rocks are keeping the soil back from gathering around this plant and the plant from gathering the proper nutrients, if you will. And Jesus said, hey, unfortunately, there's some people with shallow soil. They begin by being enthusiastic about the gospel, and it's so exciting and so powerful, and people get enthusiastic, and you know, the seed starts to grow, but in the end, it doesn't have the roots, and it doesn't have the maturity necessary to go forward. It's impulsive. And Jesus said in verse 6 that the seeds grew on the rocks, but they withered away because they had no moisture. And then in verse 13, he went on and he said, and the ones on the rocks are those who hear the word and receive it with joy, but they have no root, and they believe for a while, but in a time of testing, fall away. In other words, they're superficial followers of Jesus, people that are not really serious about the gospel. They're people that begin strong and seem to be enthusiastic. Maybe they're even a little emotional, you know, when they hear the word of God. But in the end, they fall away. And they're impulsive. And they fall away because of times of testing. You know, in the scripture, the Bible says that the testing of our faith produces patience or perseverance. I believe that when our faith is tested, we either will become stronger spiritually or it will break our faith. It will have one effect or the other. And for many people, they begin on this journey with Christ and a trial comes and they don't know how to deal with it and the seed falls away. You know, I believe that the greatest example of this would be kind of like the love of a seventh grade girl. Have you ever noticed, like, when a middle school girl begins to have a crush? You know, girls glow, man. I mean, they can walk into the church, the seventh grade girls, and I have their number. I can just look at them, and I can tell they have a crush on a boy. I mean, it is amazing. There's just this aura. There is this look. There is the goosebumps. There is the emotion. Maybe even tears of joy are shed. I mean, it is exciting. It's enthusiastic. It's, you know, I just love him, you know, and there's all this just warmth and emotion, and boy, it's great. And you know, seventh graders do something really, really smart. When they get a crush on somebody, they have a friend go and speak to the person on their behalf, okay? You got to have a representative to go and kind of plead your case and make the case for you. And hopefully, you know, the girl gets her wish and that boy likes her, and, you know, maybe they have a, you know, a crush or whatever for a week or so, but you know, I have known very few people that married their seventh grade sweethearts. I mean, there might be somebody here that did, but that's pretty unusual, right? Because seventh grade love is pretty shallow. And it's amazing to see seventh grade girls who fall in love, quote unquote, with one boy. But then when that doesn't work out, like, there'll be a couple of tears. But then the very next day, they can be on to the next thing, to the next person, right? Almost like the other didn't happen. I believe there's a little picture of that when Jesus begins to talk about seed that begins to grow, but it doesn't mature. It doesn't advance. It's kind of immature, if you will. It looks great on the surface, and it sounds so exciting. And listen, sometimes people come to faith in Christ, and they're just ready to conquer the world, and they show up on the front row, and they go buy a big Bible, and woo! I mean, they're bringing their friends to church, and it's awesome. But then all of a sudden, one trial comes, and they've gone AWOL, you know? And Jesus says, now just be warned. Now just know that this is reality. This is real life, real world kind of stuff. We wish that every seed of the gospel fell on fertile soil and just exploded. It became cataclysmic, right? But in reality, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it falls on the rocky soil, Jesus says. Now he goes on and he talks about a third kind of soil. And that third soil is not one that's dominated by the rocks, but it is one that is choked out by the weeds, or in this particular case, the thistles and the thorns. Jesus says, a preoccupied heart believes until they get distracted by worldly ambitions. And Jesus speaks to this. He says, listen, man, some people get excited about Jesus, and you notice here that this little plant has begun to take root, but it's like he's running off, you know? The thorns and the thistles are beginning to overcome him. He's like, guys, leave me alone, you know? And he's being pushed out, and pretty soon it's obvious the dominant plant that's kind of exuding his strength and vitality over this one little measly flower over here, and pretty soon he's going to be falling off the side, and this thorn, this thistle, is just going to take over the entire thing. Jesus says sometimes people get choked out in their faith. Look at verse 7. And some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it out. And then in verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. In other words, they have a superficial type of faith. So we begin, Jesus talks about the hardened soil, and then he talks about the rocky soil, and then it's the soil that, man, it seems to be fertile, but the seed fell along the area where there was a great number of weeds and thorns and thistles, and it just choked the life out of the plant. And sometimes when we think about worldly ambitions, we think about all the things that can distract us. You know, we can begin with a passionate faith in Christ, but we think about worldly ambitions. You know, we get caught up in all of the hype of the world. We begin to take our focus off of the Lord, and we begin to think about ourselves. We begin to think about our finances. We begin to think about our future. We begin to worry. We begin to make so many assumptions and to consume our thoughts around the ideas that are worldly. It's when we begin to value ourselves more than God. And we begin to say, man, I want to be like everybody else, you know? And I want to have the same goals and ambitions, and I want to do everything that everybody else is doing. And those things begin to choke out the life in us. Now, the weedy soil is reminiscent of the people that have spiritual ADD. I mean, people that are distracted. One moment, they're focused on Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness, something else comes up, a worldly concern. I got to be like them. I got to do that. You know, my friends are over here. I need to be more worldly. I need to be more focused on myself. I need to be more focused on my family. I need to be more focused on whatever. And we begin to change and to gravitate that direction. Jesus says that is one of the soils. Now, I believe the greatest example of this is in the sixth chapter of the book of John. Jesus is feeding 5,000 men, the Bible says, and we know that there were also a number of women and children that were there too. So Jesus probably fed like 20,000 to 30,000 people in one sitting. I mean, that's an amazing feat to think about. I mean, Jesus turned into this massive King Supers. I mean, just serving people like crazy. And all these people are fed. And all these people are following Jesus. They won't leave him alone. You know, they've got the Jesus t-shirts. And Jesus is like a pop icon. They probably had a bobblehead with Jesus, you know, there. They were passing out. I mean, Jesus was the deal. He was the dude. And the next morning after the feeding of the 5,000, they showed up and they're like, "Hey, Jesus, we want burgers and fries today." And Jesus is like, "Wait a second. You guys don't get it. You see, my ministry is not just all about feeding your stomachs. I came with a spiritual purpose in mind. By the way, I am the bread of life." And everybody was ticked off and mad because Jesus didn't feed them. He didn't do what we thought he should do. And many people went AWOL. They began to turn away from Jesus and to even resent Jesus because he didn't feed them again. And they thought it was all about them. They thought it was all about their appetites and all about their stomachs and all about their whatever. And Jesus said, No. I am the bread of life, man. And if you guys think that I am just some type of fast food restaurant, you have missed the message of the gospel. The reason that I fed the 5,000 in the first place was to show that I was the Son of God, but it was not to just fill your stomachs and to make you think that you could just follow me around wherever I was going to go and I would just take care of you. You know, I could just imagine people, "Hey, I'm going to quit my job. I'm just going to follow Jesus. You know, we don't have to work anymore. We don't have to cook anymore. We'll just follow him around, man, and he'll just do his little thing and we'll just eat." Boy, it's interesting. That same crowd that followed him was so ready to crucify him not too long after that. Some of the seed falls on soil that gets choked out by the focus of the things of this world. But I am so glad that Jesus continued his dialogue here and began to talk about a fourth soil. Because see, thank goodness, there are many seeds that fall on fertile soil. The fourth soil is actually the most exciting. It's the one of tremendous fruitfulness. And right here we have a beautiful plant that really embodies the fruitfulness that God wants us to have, because responsive hearts remain in Christ and they bear fruit. And right through here we have all of the fruit of this beautiful, beautiful vine right here. And Jesus says, people that are truly my disciple are people that bear fruit. You know, it's amazing how fruitfulness is tied to authentic faith. When we really begin to follow Jesus, then fruit begins to be the natural result of our life. You can't be a follower of Jesus and not have some fruit. Notice what Jesus said about this in Luke 8:8. "And some fell on good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold." Man, there wasn't just a little harvest. Jesus didn't say, you know, there's just a little bit of fruit. No, there were massive amounts of fruit. I mean, fruit all over the place, 100-fold. When you follow Jesus, the fruitfulness in your life will be powerful. It will be multifaceted. It will be incredible. You will have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You will have the gifts of the Spirit in your life. You will have the divine empowerment of God in your life, and you will bear fruit. It's one of the marks of really following Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, these guys that the seed of the gospel really takes root, that it begins to do something amazing and powerful, and that is it begins to germinate and grow. And then in verse 15 he said, "And as for that, the good soil, those who hear the word of God and hold on to it with honest and good hearts and bear fruit with patience." With patience. I mean, they bear fruit with patience. Jesus says fruitfulness is the natural outworking of the soil. And when the soil is prosperous and receptive, great results begin to happen. Now, it's interesting that the same message of the gospel could be shared and yet such dramatic results would happen. I mean, that's amazing to think about, isn't it? God says to us, the message is to always be faithful to sow the seed. God is the one that brings the increase. And we have no idea what God's going to do. You know, when we sow seed, we invite people to church on Easter services, or we share our testimony or our story. I mean, we don't know. How are people going to respond to that? Are they going to land here? Are they going to land here? But you know what? God just called us to be faithful to sow the seed, and He'll take care of the results. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, one of my favorite scriptures about this, it says, I planted, this is Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Did you know God's the one that changes lives, not you? You know, God says your role is to spread the seed, but then to let God bring about the results. So the burden and the responsibility is not all on you. In fact, you can't change somebody's life. I don't care how smart you are, or how experienced, or how gifted you are. Only God can change hearts. But God says you have a very, very, very important role to play. And that specific role is to sow the seed. To sow the seed. So Easter Sunday is coming up. We have a powerful opportunity to sow the seed. We're going to be inviting friends like crazy all week long because we want to put as many seeds in the ground as we can. And you know what's beautiful is that many of those seeds are going to begin to produce fruitfulness and a harvest. And many of you have committed your lives to Christ in our church and you're bearing spiritual fruit. Man, it's exciting. I mean, lots of spiritual fruit. The Bible says 100-fold. I love it. Jesus said in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and you prove to be my disciples. So fruitfulness is just part of following Jesus. God wants you to be fruitful. Now let me just give us some applications based on this text for just a few moments. Number one is soils do change. Maybe you've even seen this in your own life. Somebody shared the gospel with you. You weren't ready to receive it. You thought, that's nonsense. But then you heard it a little bit later, maybe a couple of years later, and you committed your life to Christ. You know? And soils do change. In fact, I was looking at my neighbor's yard the other day, and he had all this green grass, and I felt bad. I hadn't done anything in my yard. I thought, I need to do something. So I went in the garage, and I just had a couple of minutes, and I put a bunch of fertilizer out, but I only had time to put it out on half of the yard. And so now if you drive by my house, you'll see that I've got like this one part of grass, it's all green, it looks beautiful, but then the other part is completely dead. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Soil can change. Sometimes it just needs a little fertilizer. So don't give up on that person that God's put on your heart today to share the gospel with, to invite to Easter services. They may be here today, but they may be over here tomorrow. Because soils change, and hearts change, and circumstances change, and God is at work. And we should never give up on reaching people. Soils are always changing. You know, we are so quick to judge people and to put them into a category. We look at somebody and we're like, oh, they look this way. Oh, they would never want to go to church with me. Or they have this background or this reputation or they talk like this. And sometimes we're very quick to say, now all the little safe people that look like me and act like me, those are the people that I'll reach out to. But I don't want to reach out to anybody that might be a risk or anybody that might be different from me. And so we have great fear when it comes to reaching out. And we oftentimes say no for people. Isn't that amazing that we kind of play God in the whole equation? We never know what God's going to do in people's lives. In fact, many of the people that Jesus spent the majority of his ministry with were the people that most of us would have been afraid to invite to church. One of Jesus' 12, Simon the Zealot, was a political revolutionary. He was a terrorist. He was a part of a terrorist group. Why don't you invite somebody from the Al-Qaeda network to church next week and see how that goes for you? You know, Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. He always talked way too much. Matthew was a tax collector, an extortionist. And then those were just the 12, but Jesus also spent all this time with all these other people. I mean, people that were demon-possessed, people that were prostitutes, people that were in adultery. Those are the people that Jesus was always with, and yet they received the message of the gospel. So let's don't say no for anybody. Let's say yes. Let's sow the seed and see what God does, because it may surprise us what God would do. In fact, two of my best friends in college were high school drug dealers. You know, I met them after they became followers of Jesus, and they were highly, highly committed followers of the Lord, but that wasn't where they started. They were rough guys. One of my friends had a little twitch, you know, because he had done so much drugs in high school. And God used him in a powerful way. And my friend would even skip class all the time to go out and share the good news of the gospel with people. You know, he was just that committed to it. And it was an amazing thing. But don't say no for other people, because you never know who God would change their life. I'll tell you one of the beautiful things that I love. Our church is about 18 months old. And there's so many people that have come to our church, and they were invited by a friend. And then now they've invited a friend, and now they've invited a friend. It's like there's three or four generations of people that are at the Edge Church, because the Edge Church is always about reaching out. It's always about finding new folks that we can sow seed with. And we're seeing that in our young church. We're seeing multiple generations of people. And listen, God wants to use you. Did you know statistics tell us that one out of three people that are invited to church would come to Easter services? Did you know that? If somebody would just invite them. Man, I know there's somebody that God's putting on your heart today to invite to Easter services next week. And they would come if you would just extend the invitation. You know, if you would just make the phone call. If you would just send the email. If you would just personally invite them to come, God would do a great work in their life. And somebody says, well, man, I don't know anybody. You know, I don't know anybody to invite to church, or all my friends are Christians. Well, you know, if that's the case, go meet somebody new, right? I mean, just go introduce yourself to somebody. I have invited so many people to the Edge Church that I never knew before. And you know what's funny is some of them actually came. Some of you guys in here, I've seen some of you. You were random people, and I met you on the street and gave you an Edge Church card, and you came to church. Amen. It was good. You never know what God is going to do. And God's going to use you this week to do that. So let's don't say no for people. Let's meet somebody new. You know, sometimes we get fixated on the one person that we invited to church, and they said, man, I would never go to church. You're a nut. You're a religious fanatic. You're crazy. And we think, well, you know, I invited this one person, and they said no, and it hurt my feelings, so everybody else must live in the same pot. You know, when we get it in our mind, either consciously or subconsciously, everybody's going to respond like the one person. It's kind of like if somebody says, I'm a Nazi atheist vampire, I would never go to your church, you know? And that kind of freaks us out a little bit. We get kind of scared, you know? We think, oh my gosh, everybody that I invite to church is going to be a Nazi atheist vampire. That's not true. That's not true. In fact, I would tell you, if somebody tells you that they don't want to go to church and they have hardened soil, the next time you ask somebody, there is a much greater opportunity that you're going to find somebody over here or right here. You just keep asking, man. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody responds in the same way. So let's don't get a negative mentality because of what one person said to us, and we can build a whole stereotype around what that one Nazi atheist vampire said to us. It doesn't work that way. We've been sowing a lot of seed in our community. In fact, these postcards, 25,000 of them, are about to hit our whole neighborhood. I say neighborhood, that's a narrow term. This region is probably a better word. And people know about the Edge Church. I mean, it's funny. I have random strangers stop me in the grocery store. Hey, that's a nice picture of you and your wife on that postcard, you know? It's kind of funny. I think it's funny. We have signs all over town, you know? Banners and signs and postcards. And, you know, people, they know about the Edge Church. Here's the beauty. When you invite somebody to church, they probably already heard of us. Oh, that's that church I got that postcard from. And, you know, they sent that flyer over and I saw those signs. Yeah, I'll go to that church. See, we've already made your job easier. People already know what it is. Now, all we need is somebody just to put a little seed in the ground and to let that seed begin to germinate and to grow a little bit. And so that's why we're giving you these postcards. I'll tell you, we need to be creative about sowing seeds. At my last church, I had a teacher, an elementary school teacher. She gathered up 50 postcards the Sunday before Easter, this exact Sunday. By the way, we have 500 at the back if you want some. Okay? Hint. She put one in every box of the teachers and the administrators of her school. And guess what? One of those families showed up. It was one of the teachers of the first grade. Her marriage was on the rocks. Her husband drank all the time. They were miserable. They didn't know what to do. And they thought, we got a postcard. I guess we'll go to church. And they showed up on Easter Sunday and committed their lives to Christ, and God radically changed the husband. The husband who drank all the time began to focus on his wife and his family, and God totally changed his heart, restored the marriage, and they began to bear fruit. They became one of our most faithful home group leaders in the church, became committed tithers. They were just committed in every way. It all started with somebody putting a seed in the ground. And now I can't even imagine our church without that family, but it all started when somebody took a seed and put it in the ground, and God began to make it grow, and it began to bear fruit. God's put somebody in your life like that. And God's put somebody in your heart like that. I was talking with one of our church members this week. They said, "Ryan, I posted on my Facebook page, come to Edge Church services on Easter." And she thought, you know, I don't know who will respond to that, but I'll put it out there. And she said, one of my friends who is deeply involved in astrology came up to me and she said, "Hey, I saw your Facebook post. I might be interested in going to church with you." And our church member almost fell over. You know, she was shocked. She thought, oh, of all the people that would want to come to church on Easter Sunday, this is not the person to do so. And interestingly enough, God began to use that seed to allow it to grow. And we're praying that she comes on Easter Sunday morning. God's going to use you. Be creative. Man, be creative. There's things that God's even putting on your heart right now, ways that you can reach out to people and sow some seeds. And we've got tons of postcards in the back, and we've got invite cards and all kinds of stuff all over the place. But I got to tell you something today. Now God wants us just to be faithful and to use this very special season of the year to see lives changed. Isn't that beautiful to think about today? Let's just give the Lord a round of applause for all that he's doing today in our own hearts. And I want to just lead you in a word of prayer, because you know what? There may be somebody here today, and there probably is, that's never seen the seed of the gospel really fall on their hearts in such a way that fruit begin to come. Maybe you've never even really committed your life to Jesus before. And today, the Bible says this is the day of salvation. What a great morning to become a follower of Jesus. I'd like to just lead you in a prayer of commitment today and just say, "Lord, I want that seed to fall on my heart and to save me and redeem me." Just pray this prayer. "Lord, please forgive me of my sins and make me a new person in Christ. I'm putting my faith in what he did at the cross and the resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day and to bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen."